This is a Pinball News production.
All right. So we're going to get started today on playfield restorations. It's been going on for about 3 years now. The last 2 years there was problems doing finished clear coats on the playfields. So I figured out that process there. So there's an example up here of Sorcerer Playfield. There's two space shuttles right now, Edward Chung's, and another one that are getting finished clear coats while down here in Texas. So if you look at that, that's the result of what happens when I take a playfield that's worn out to get sanded down and started fresh. So I'm just going to grab it so you can see it. So I'll just go about the process. So what people are doing, if I've got the yard file available, is people get to send in their worn out trash play field, and if it can get sanded down and restored, it's just a $300 US service plus shipping to and from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. On the sheets I've passed out, you'll see that if there's epoxy repairs needed for gouging or other areas on the playfield, there's an additional cost of $50. And if light lenses need re-glued or recessed, it will cost an additional $100. The problem I'm seeing right now is moving into subtitles with Williams is that either the light lenses are either sunken or they're raised. The file for high speed is ready to go, and only one out of three play fields is ready enough to go. Usually the light lenses on a high speed game are raised in the circle area. So you have to use a heat gun or a hair dryer, remove the light lenses, drumble them down, and then re-glue them in. So that adds to the process. The space shuttles are next in line. Most of them have what's called a crescent light lens. One of the earliest files, Edward Chung's one, has six light lenses, so three for space and three for shuttle on the playfield. So most of them are ruby crescent light lens, and the bulk of the space shuttles that I see. So going through the process, the playfields come in to me, usually by U.S. Postal Service or Canada Post. The person sending it in has already removed everything top and bottom, so on the back side you even have to remove the ground braid and all the staples for me. So it comes into Halifax. What happens next is the whole playfield gets sanded down. So usually we start at 300 or 400 grit discs and work our way down to probably 150 or 180. When the playfield is totally sanded down, it gets slipped for any repairs, so gouging or screw holes, the light lenses. If it's ready to go, then it goes through two coats of water-based varathane. So water-based varathane is used throughout the process except for the finished two coats, which is auto DuPont at a body shop. So the playfields come in, they get sanded, I go through two coats of varathane waterborne. Then each light lens and wood area has to be masked off with vinyl. Then I take white acrylic paint from Sherwin-Williams for auto, and that's how I lay a white base down. So the white base is laid down, then it gets two more coats of water-based varathane. When that process is done, it gets mounted on a half-inch piece of MDF wood, which is just smaller than the size of the playfield. The purpose of the MDF is to straighten out the warp edge on the play field so it can go through the color span printer and hopefully get inked properly. What happens when it goes through the inking process, the printer puts a piece of paper on it. It's almost like Christmas paper. So what he does, he puts the Christmas paper on, he masks it, and he'll probably run it halfway through a test cycle. When he pulls the play field out, they take an X-Acto knife and they just slice the paper down where the light lenses are. So they'll usually go down the middle here and across the arrows. And what they do, they lift the paper back and they just see how the alignment is. So a lot of the art files, they have to be shifted one way or the other, top or bottom. So the main goal that the printer and myself, we look for is we try to get as much of the light lenses that you see in the bottom area here lined up as perfectly as we can. But like once they commit to printing, it goes through. So unless it's a total disaster, we have to live with whatever's printed on. The service at $300 is like barely a cost effective system. So I'm doing it as a service for people to show that playfields can be restored if the yard is available. I really love the hobby, and that's the only reason why I'm doing it. If it was a money reason only, I'd be making brand new product and contracting it all out. So I'm just going to go from this sample here from the playfields, and I'll start talking about trans lights and the future back glasses, hopefully this year. So just so everybody knows, right now the air packages I have ready to go is Sorcerer, Space Shuttle, the High Speeds are ready to go, the Stern Sea Witch is there, and I think I'm missing one, OEPOL Deluxe. That file is ready to go also. There's other people with art files, so I think a bunch of stuff's gonna come down the system. I've got like a verbal agreement with Kevin Wade at CPR that they probably kick their play fields when they're done running brand new play fields. The artwork will come away. So either they're gonna kick the art file my way, or hopefully members of their art team, after it's done with new play fields for CPR, hopefully the art becomes available. So a lot of people are sitting on art, but they just don't want to get too involved yet. So hopefully this year on, you're going to start seeing a bunch of play fields, the art become available for the system. So just before I move on, I'll stay with the play field stuff. Two of these are going to be given away today. So what's happening now is like I'm offering custom play fields at the same price. So if people have a worn out play field and they want to recustomize their play field, the price is the same. It doesn't matter to my printer whether it's the same Space Shuttle or Sorcerer or whatever. The artwork is the same cost going through the system. So if people want to start making customized play fields or back glasses, it can be done easily. So I'm just going to pass the samples through the crowd, so just be careful and just pass them along, and you can have a closer look. So what you'll see here is like what the results are of the color span. It's a four-color process. You will see lines of ink on any of these products, but when they're behind glass, or if it's on a play field with a series of clear coats, you will not see the lines of ink. It all blends into a nice surface, just like the Sorcerer there.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm taking it as a Bally Williams, but I don't know. People are asking me what the title is. But like any play field art can be done. I personally talked with Gene, and there was like problems with the creature from the Black Lagoon doing the breasts and the other stuff with it. Like it's a one-up for somebody, then it's probably okay.
So what I got here is like a series of trans lights, which can be done very readily on production quality stuff with the printer at a low cost. So just about any trans light that's out there, there's a cheap alternative if the licensing is there to run the artwork. So I've been dealing with the guys in Germany and have an agreement, if I get licensing through Williams, that there's a whole bunch of translite art that's available ready to go for Williams Valley. So it's a matter of getting through the door with Williams, getting approval, and hopefully having an agreement with Gene at Illinois Pinball. So the back glass ones that you see, Cyclops and Freedom, it's on a super thick material. That's not what we'll use for the trans lights. I've got one Twilight Zone sample here, and the other sample just went to John. So this one here is going to Gene for Williams' approval to have a look at. Gene's already had a look at this one, and they have a different process for the Adams family. So I'll go back home and talk to my printer and see about the different systems. They use, a gloss laminate over their printing system. So we'll have a look at this, but I'll pass along the Twilight Zone. This is one I've got up on my photo bucket site. So I took the glass out of my CSI and I put the Twilight Zone in and took pictures of it. And it looks just exactly like the artwork is perfect with the backlit in the game. When you look at it here, when I pass this one sample around, you'll see lines of ink in it. But like when it goes behind plexi or glass at the player's distance, you can't see the lines at all. So there's a big opportunity for Translites because they're readily available to be printed like with any big printing company with the product. So a lot of stuff that might be rare or unobtainable will be able to be produced if there's a licensing agreement. So just getting back to a licensing agreement, I've been trying to do pinball products for the last 3 years. So I'm definitely never going to work with Wayne Gillard in Australia. He definitely keeps sending me cease and desist and other threats. So I have been working with Kim and Gene over the last year or so, working towards some form of licensing, either for the back glasses of where I'm going. I'll take questions, yeah?
I know you said on the playfield, because it's the original playfield,
you know, the question was, playfield restorations, is there any sort of licensing necessary? When I started this 3 years, I wasn't quite sure. So I'm not personally sure if Roger Sharp gave the okay, but I think he was one of the people there that was asked the question. If it's a play field of your own being sent in for restoration, whether you do a full process like what I'm doing, or decals, or taking a paintbrush yourself and doing it yourself, there's no problems with copyright issues. You've already paid for the product. It's not a new product, which is evident because you look at it, you definitely know it's a used play field. When you look at the back, you can see the screw holes and maybe some of the dirt, and the play fields are usually warped, so there's no problem there that I know of restoring any type of play field. Where do you send it out to another restorer to touch up by hand or do any other process? So the market is there for anybody to do this, and that's what I've been pushing the last 3 years, is to see if others will take up the torch, find a printer that's willing to do the work, and hopefully open up the art files so people around the world can restore their play fields. Myself being in Canada, the market's not bad because I've got USA and Canada that I can do restorations for, but like Europe and Asia or Australia, it's really cost prohibitive to send a play field over across the ocean and then back again. Yes?
What if we already had files done? Can we just send them to you and you just use that file?
Yeah, that's the main goal this year, is like hopefully a lot of art packages become available. People either do the work themselves or they've got somebody with a decent scan. So if the art files are out there and the person's willing to part with it to help out on restorations, then just about any title can be done. So I haven't seen any EM stuff, and it's really bizarre because like a lot of the EM artwork is pretty basic. I'm not an arts type of person. People keep asking me about files and stuff. I just take it to the experts and let them do it. More questions?
Are you able or planning to do any backup stuff?
The Gottlieb stuff, it seems like Shay's been doing a lot of work on the back glasses, but it seems the last few years there's an opportunity to maybe produce back glasses that the Shay group isn't going to be doing. So I've got the possibility of everything works out to approach them for maybe Pink Panther or maybe a few other Goblin titles. So a lot of the stuff, just getting back to the back glasses, before I came down here, I thought it was on the right track with our color span, printing directly the glass and then going to a screen shop for UV ink and screening 3 hits of white and one hit a block for the blocking layer. So I went through the process thinking everything was A-okay. So after spending over $1,000, I finally realized that the durability of the UV ink on the glass wasn't great, the bond wasn't great. So what happened is we tested it with like even green masking tape, painter's tape, and when we stuck it around an edge of the glass or near a window display, you could tear off big chunks of ink off the glass. So with that in mind, when I get back, we're going to move forward. My screen printer is going to go with two new test glasses, tempered glass, and we're going to try UV ink through the dryer to see, like, it's a UV bulb dryer that cures the ink. So if that works out and it's durable, that's the way we're going to move forward with back glasses. If that totally fails, what we're going to end up doing is going back to traditional solvent inks with screens, the same as Classic Playfield Reproduction is doing with their Playfield's back glasses and plastic sets. So, the glass stuff is probably going to move forward. The first project that I'm going to run with is a 9-ball glass. The art is already ready to go. It's just making sure I've got a final result that's going to be durable and acceptable. So on the glass part, the hope is that I can run a minimum 50 back glasses at a time. So a lot of back glasses that maybe they'll never get produced because of lack of demand, there might be a chance to see them come out. If that fails, the trans lights that people are seeing here, anything can be done easily with a trans light for pinball. So we have to go to a trans light for some of the old EMs or electronic stuff. At least the opportunity, if there's a licensing agreement, then you'll see that. So the big gift, before I take the next question, the big thing is licensing. So everybody knows the Playfield restorations, you don't need a license. But whenever you want to make brand new pinball product, if you don't have a license, they're going to be coming gunning for you. So that's why out there might be a lot of stuff that's pirate or under the table, and that's out there. But like, if you start making known that you're selling a licensed product without a license, you won't be selling it very long. Question?
How do you get your image files, and then how big?
I'm not computer like really technical, but like I know some of the files are super huge. So people have been sending the files up, either like you send it, or they'll send it up on a CD or one of the plug-in sticks. So as long as the art file is good at 300 DPI or better, using either like Corel, Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop, any quality drawing or photo type of file system, we can take the art and look at it, and usually it's ready to go. Just so people know, the two Playfield custom samples that went back there, the problem we got on these samples is the flesh color is coming with purple, like a purple color dithering into it. So the guy who's working on his custom art is going to go back to the file, chop that out, and then try different art systems, send it in to make sure we get the proper flesh color for it. So the rest of the colors on the customized Playfield look bang on, but for some reason, the art file looks like it's getting a little purple in on our flesh colors. More questions? Yep.
I might have missed this, but for backlights, you're doing like the old ones. When they're backlit and they have numbers that might appear high, how do you do that in the process?
Yeah. If I have to go with trans lights for the older stuff, it's probably not going to happen where you can chop out like game over, tilt, all the match stuff. It'd be like a cheap alternative if you can't find a glass. Is probably more than likely you'd be able to get a trans light for like $100 compared to like a back glass is going to be $250.
So you're able to print it out so you can have the back information show the numbers and stuff?
If the numbers numbers are on there, like they're going to be showing up. So like if the backboard on your pinball machine has the light lens and it kind of hides out where it comes to the translate, then the possibility is there that you can backlight it, but you definitely see like the match numbers and the tilt and whatever for all the. Like we can do it if we go screening the glass, we can show it in the final black with all the text for game over, shoot again, all that sort of stuff. There's no problem. If you're down at the hole, Gene's got a customized German Kiss back glass. And that's all done on UV ink, so you can see that they used, I think, a black blocking layer for the final color. With UV ink, you can't make it a silver color, because there's metallic in the ink for silver, so it, right now for UV ink, you just can't do it. Any more questions? Does everybody got a draw, Jacob? Anybody coming late?
Yeah, if you guys separate them and just pass them to the end of the table and I'll grab them.
So I'm going to get Martin to do the two draws. So I just randomized and did the shell game, moving the tickets back and forth. They're upside down so he can't see the name. So I'm just going to get him to draw one and then another one. Okay, the first winner who gets a choice is, I think it's Michael Beerley. Yeah, come on down.
Thank you, Martin.
And the second prize winner is Bob Tannehill.
Yeah,
you get a Playfield Art. So what I'm going to do when I get back to Nova Scotia, I'll be drawing for the two glasses. They will be shipped free of charge to you in the USA or Canada. And any glass projects, if I end up doing glass projects this year, I will be doing one draw per title. So all the tickets, either with a B or an S on them, the ones that didn't win will go for a future draw this year for glass. So I'd like to thank everybody for showing up for my seminar. And if you have any questions, it's greatpinball.com or I'm on RGP, it's GreatWitchJohn. Just send me an email and pick my brain and I'll let you know what's going on. Thanks.